Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Kansas City.
Another day, another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. As always, I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Shout out to our presenting sponsors, starting with Iron Horse Bar and Grill, which is located on the corner of Nall and 151st Street in Leawood. They've got great drink specials and appetizer specials, as you know, running 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and a reverse happy hour Sunday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Those deals include premium Wells and domestic drafts for $3 or a Tito's Mule for $6. So going down to Iron Horse Bar and Grill on the corner of Nall and 151st Street in Leawood. Also, a shout-out to Garrettson and Toth. They handle the most complex felony, federal, or state criminal defense cases. You'll find they've been doing that successfully, helping criminal defendants all over the Kansas City area and northeast Kansas for years. Quarterback rivalries are sort of the interesting thing to keep up with in the NFL. They're what makes people tune into NFL games, whether you're a fan of that team or not. It sort of can be that comparison of greatness. Whether it's Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Joe Burrow. Now, in just a couple days after what we witnessed in the AFC divisional game, we consider Mahomes and Allen as the next Brady Manning. But now we approach this Sunday, Mahomes and Burrow. And how much can you prepare for this game knowing that Mahomes and Allen really are the two quarterbacks going head-to-head right now, but Burrow's not far behind? I guess the question is, how far is Burrow behind a guy like Josh Allen? Because right now, the top guy is Patrick Mahomes. There's no denying that. He's beaten Josh Allen twice in the postseason, right? He has more postseason wins than Lamar Jackson. Mahomes has won an MVP. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. Joe Burrow is just now getting into this. You know, brand new. But he's 2-0. Right? He beat the Las Vegas Raiders in the wild card round. He beat the Tennessee Titans on the road, the number one seed. So he's 2-0. But Mahomes has won far more than that. He is approaching his fourth consecutive AFC title game, and that would make it every single season that he's been the starter of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know that the quarterback position is really all about individual statistics when we compare other quarterbacks. With Tom Brady, it's the Super Bowls. With Aaron Rodgers, it's the numbers. But right now with Patrick Mahomes, it's a little bit of both. Now, Mahomes hasn't gotten anywhere near the number of Super Bowls Tom Brady has, but he's done a lot of winning. That's for sure. You know, two Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl win, four AFC title games, his regular season record, 50-13. Right, I mean, he has all the numbers right now, kind of like what we do with Aaron Rodgers. Now, Joe Burrow, on the other hand, though he's been phenomenal, he's still not quite as seasoned. You know, he's still got a losing record in the NFL, 12-13-1. Now, that's also circumstance, right? Patrick Mahomes winning to Kansas City, a winning culture at the time. Alex Smith had taken those guys to the postseason year in, year out. Andy Reid hasn't had a losing season since he's been in Kansas City coming in 2013. So Mahomes took over a much better situation than Joe Burrow did in Cincinnati. But you know the talk all week is going to be, you know, is it going to be Burrow and Mahomes the next 5 to 10 years, or is it going to be Josh Allen, Mahomes? You know, it's funny how quick people can move off narratives. You know, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, that showdown was phenomenal, one of the best we've ever seen. But let's say something similar happens on Sunday afternoon. know, Joe Burrow has a near-perfect game like Josh Allen did. Maybe, I'm not predicting this, but what if Joe Burrow won and went to the Super Bowl in only his second year as a starter? You know, those are the type of things that can give you that credit, can give you that notoriety of being a rival to Patrick Mahomes. But at the same time, when we look at it, that's always going to be the rival to Patrick Mahomes. Look from year in and year out when Mahomes has been in the league. He's been compared to other guys. When he first came in, it was maybe it's Brady and Mahomes the next couple of years. And then once Brady left New England, then it was, okay, maybe it's Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And then Josh Allen entered the chat, and it was, here's Mahomes and Josh Allen. And then Justin Herbert entered the chat, and it was, now it's Mahomes and Herbert. They're in the same division. They're going to see a lot of each other in the postseason as well. And then Josh Allen, elite status again, was even better than he was a couple of years ago. Then it's Mahomes and Allen. And then Joe Burrow beats Patrick Mahomes in round one of what is soon to be many matchups in the AFC. Then is it Mahomes and Burrow? I mean, but look at the constant. Who's always the one being compared to? It's Mahomes. So you know right then and there, the rivalry for the next 5 to 10 years is going to include Mahomes. Right? That's just the fact of the matter. He wins in the postseason. He puts up the numbers. And it really comes down to who's going to be the guy to come close to that. I think it's Josh Allen. Right? I'm not going to just move on to the next narrative because it's been 2 days since perhaps the greatest NFL game that's ever been played. But I think Joe Burrow has a chance. Joe Burrow has a chance because he's got the weapons. I think he's got a great head coach. And I think for the next couple of years, Cincinnati has a good chance to win a couple of division titles. You know, put themselves in a spot to continuously get back to the postseason, just like Kansas City has done with the AFC West. You know, for a while we thought when Lamar Jackson was in the AFC North, and I still think the Ravens are that team that is the biggest threat to Cincinnati because we know the Ravens didn't make the postseason, but they also weren't healthy. Cincinnati, though, is built to beat a team like the Baltimore Ravens. They can throw it all over Baltimore, and Baltimore is a team that doesn't really like to come back. They like to have leads and then like to run the ball down your throat. But when you have Cincinnati, this high-flying offense, that sets you up nicely to win division titles every other year. Kansas City is a run-and-gun type of offense. They're an air raid type of offense. Mahomes came from an air raid type of offense in Texas Tech. So when you look at quarterbacks that you compare to Mahomes and who's the next great rivalry, where, well, I think it comes down to, you know, who are the quarterbacks that kind of resemble him? The offenses that resemble Kansas City's. It's Cincinnati. They have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Now, it's not the same positions, but that's Kansas City's Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Two big weapons. The guys that are going to get theirs every postseason game. But I think where Cincinnati isn't to Kansas City's level yet is the Chiefs know. They have that switch that once the postseason hits, they can beat you. They can do anything and move the ball efficiently. Their defense can step up. Mahomes is fantastic. You know, most passing touchdowns through 10 games than any other quarterback in NFL history. Like, this Chiefs team we've seen through weeks 1 and 2 of the postseason is drastically different than we saw when they met in Cincinnati. Right? Because in games like Sunday night, I don't know if the Chiefs win that in the regular season. They're just a different type of mentality in the postseason with Kansas City. It's over my dead body. And you're not beating me in this game. I know it's win or go home. I'm not going to lose this football game. Where in the regular season, you know, you're going to go to the postseason. You're fighting for that one seed, but they know. Put us anywhere. You know, and Mahomes hasn't played in a road postseason game, but I'm sure that whole team thinks it doesn't matter where we play anybody in this AFC playoff picture. We're going to beat them. Cincinnati, on the other hand, they've grinded it out, but you could argue they don't look as good as they did in the regular season. Right? I thought their game against the Raiders was a little bit suspect. They didn't look that good. They really didn't look that good against Tennessee, but Tennessee was exposed as being frauds. Now, the Bengals offensive line allowed 9 sacks. What do you think Kansas City's defensive front can do? That's where you kind of start thinking about how this matchup will go. And I think the only way, back to the point of comparing the next greatest rivalry, what does Burrow have to do in this game to earn that respect, to get up there with Josh Allen, to maybe surpass Lamar Jackson? Because if I'm going through tiers right now in terms of rivalries for the next 5 years, I'm going Mahomes-Allen, Mahomes-Herbert, Mahomes-Burrow, Mahomes-Jackson. That's kind of where I'd rank those top four. Because we're going to get a lot of Mahomes and Herbert 2 times a year, maybe 3 times a year. I feel like Mahomes and Allen are going to meet every single season in the postseason, no matter where it is. Wild card, divisional, AFC championship. Burrow, I put above Lamar Jackson because, let's be honest, aside from the fluke that happened in week 2 at Baltimore, he's dominated that matchup. And Lamar Jackson, I think numbers-wise, isn't really close to Patrick Mahomes. But Joe Burrow is somebody that sort of can get to that level. I think he's a little bit behind Justin Herbert. You could argue, why don't I have Burrow over Herbert when Burrow is now facing Mahomes in the AFC Championship game and Justin Herbert still hasn't played in the postseason? Well, I think Herbert's going to have his chance. And I think right now I'd put Herbert as the better quarterback over Joe Burrow. Maybe I'm being too critical of Lamar Jackson in this comparison because he was hurt a lot this year. He has put up great numbers, but I think when I look at these rivalries, it's more of play style. You know, how do they look? I know Josh Allen is more of the runner of the group, kind of with Lamar Jackson, but I think it's going to come down to those shootout type of offenses. That's what I compare rivalries with. The style of play, that's what I said. The team that I think will be the next rival to Kansas City, or for Patrick Mahomes the next 5 to 10 years, it's the team that most resembles their offense. I think that's Buffalo. I think that can be the Chargers. I think that can be the Bengals. I don't think so much the Ravens. The Ravens really aren't a shootout type of team. They're a physical, we want to take the lead, and then we're going to run the ball down your throat. None of the other three teams do that. They're like, we're going to keep throwing all over you. And so for Joe Burrow to get this respect, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be very straight to the point. The only way he gets close to where Allen is, and maybe in the eyes of some surpasses Allen, he's got to win on Sunday. He really does. If you go into Arrowhead Stadium and you become the first quarterback not named Tom Brady to beat Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, you can earn that respect of this is the next rivalry. I would certainly put him with Josh Allen because then Joe Burrow's got more wins against Patrick Mahomes in the postseason than Josh Allen does. And it also comes down to how he plays. Now, what does Joe Burrow look like? If they win this game, is it 21-17? I don't think Patrick Mahomes-led offense is going to score 17 points against the Bengals. I think it'll be more so on the side of both teams in the 30s. But this is when we look at these two quarterbacks and go, here's how we measure them. Regular season numbers don't matter. Awards in the post or in the regular season, they don't matter. What matters is what happens in these three games going to the Super Bowl. What'd you do in the wild card game? What'd you do in the divisional round? What'd you do in the AFC title game? Who did you beat? And Patrick Mahomes so far, he ended Ben Roethlisberger's career. Right? That should be it for Big Ben. Now, that wasn't as impressive as a win. That's kind of a, okay, we're moving on. But then he beat Josh Allen. And Josh Allen was the three-headed dragon. I guess I've used that now twice in two shows this week. Three-headed dragon. That was the evil monster, the evil creature standing in front of the doorway of the castle. Got to get past him. And then once you get past him, you're feeling confident about yourself. I know Kansas City feels confident about themselves, but they went through arguably their biggest test they'll face in the postseason. I think the Buffalo Bills were going to give Kansas City the toughest time of any team. Can they still lose? Of course they can. It's the postseason. On the other side, with the Bengals, they faced Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill. This is by far and away their toughest postseason match. This is the toughest game Joe Burrow's ever played in, and he's played in national title games at LSU. Now, I don't know, Marco, if you heard what Joe Burrow said or the comment that's been floating around that Joe Burrow said he's played in both SEC games, road games, and NFL games. And he said, no NFL stadium he's been to has been louder than an SEC stadium. And poor Joe Burrow, because that's the fuel that this Chiefs kingdom, this crowd needed, as if they even really needed one. But I'm curious how this young quarterback is going to play in the game of his life. Right? This is a city-changing, an organization-changing, a league-changing win if Cincinnati goes in and knocks off Kansas City. But aside from that, for his individual statistics, his individual praise, Joe Burrow is going to have to go in and win on Sunday to get that equal comparison to Josh Allen of being the next rival for Patrick Mahomes. Marco, before we go to break, agree or disagree with that statement, or do you think, I don't care what Joe Burrow does, it's going to be Allen and Mahomes for the next half a decade?
Asking me if I care whether or not what he had to say about the stadium comments?
No. Like it's that too. I guess you can add into that. Yeah. What do you think of Joe Burrow's comments? But what if Joe Burrow goes in and wins, right? Do you give him the same amount of respect that Josh Allen gets for the next rivalry the next half a decade?
Yeah.
Or is it, so if he does win, he gets that, but if he loses, it's Mahomes and Allen?
I mean, it's Mahomes versus everybody right now, actually. But if he wins, then there's something that puts him above the other quarterbacks within the AFC. So right now it's Mahomes versus every other AFC quarterback for years to come. Allen and Mahomes may be the best of the quarterback matchups for the next 10 years, but I mean, I think every quarterback presents its their own different kind of challenge, and it's going to be exciting because there's some really good young quarterbacks who can present a challenge, but it's Mahomes versus the field for the next 10 years.
And that's a very fair point, right? Who's always the one we're comparing everybody to? It's Patrick Mahomes. There might be somebody that gets drafted this upcoming year that turns out to be really good, and then in 2-3 years down the road, it'll be, here's the next Patrick Mahomes. Here's the next rivalry for Patrick Mahomes. Because everybody else is getting their shot, but so far, nobody's been the one to actually dethrone Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. When we come back here on The Shift, we talk about Tom Brady. Is he done, or does he have a couple more years left in him? And what is the best playoff game all time with Patrick Mahomes' starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs? You are listening to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. If you are dealing with neck, back, shoulder, or any kind of issue, go in today to Active Family Chiropractic on 135th and Antioch in Overland Park. I've been going for the last year or two. You know, anytime I've got a problem with my shoulder, my back, my lower back, they got great laser therapy. I go to Dr. Kurt Welter over there. They do an excellent job. They've worked with Major League Soccer players, Olympic athletes, and local favorites that you know that have played professionally all around the Kansas City area. So it really is the place to go if you're dealing with any kind of pain. You know, acute pain, chronic pain, they can fix it. So go in, either set up an appointment in person. Like I said, the office is located on 135th in Antioch in Overland Park. Or you can call in and set up an appointment at 913-681-6013. That's 913-681-6013. During the break there, Marco, I was just scrolling through Twitter for fun, and this account called Steelers Depot said, Sunday night, Josh Allen made a lot of plays like this one that reminded me of a young Ben Roethlisberger. He's certainly going to be fun to watch for a while. And it's the two-point conversion play where Josh Allen pretty much ran, give or take, 50 to 55 yards, just sideways, and then makes a throw on the run. I don't remember ever Ben Roethlisberger making a play like that. Young or old, he wasn't fast enough. He's a hell of a quarterback. He could throw it, he could sling it, but I don't think many quarterbacks ever had done a play like that. Maybe Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to go through the thread here and maybe see a play that he had like that. I've seen Big Ben scramble before.
Right.
But it kind of looks like when you tie together, like, you remember when you were a little kid and they tie your shoelaces together and you'd have to waddle? Yeah. That's how he moves. Right? Josh Allen doesn't move like that. When I have more time, I'm going to go digging. And then maybe tomorrow I'll give everybody an answer if I've ever seen a play like that. And then I'll admit I'm wrong. I can do that.
I feel like we've seen more older Roethlisberger play than younger Roethlisberger. You know what I mean? Felt like younger Roethlisberger, like Super Bowl over the Seahawks young. I can't remember really much what he was like then, but no, I don't. Maybe Big Ben broke like 5 tackles or something and was able to get a pass off, but accumulating 55 yards scrambling, that just doesn't.
That oh my god,
doesn't sound
I'm gonna
right.
Probably could count on one hand how many times Big Ben has scrambled for more than 50 yards. I could be wrong, but even some of the comments right here, he reminds me of Ben, but Josh Allen seems faster. Yeah, I would say that's true. But speaking of Big Ben, old quarterbacks that could be on his way out, Tom Brady has been making the news after losing in the NFC divisional round. His season is now over, and is it over for Tom Brady? Right, he was mentioning yesterday, I believe it was yesterday on one of the podcasts he does, that his wife, Giselle, doesn't like to really see him getting hit anymore. Right, it pains her to see Tom Brady get hit. And, you know, he is at that stage in his career where he pretty much has done more than what you could ask for of any quarterback in the NFL. But in August, he's going to be 45. Right, 45 years old. Still a quarterback and still playing at a very high level. No one is denying that Tom Brady could still play another year or two and still put up really good numbers in Tampa Bay. But so far, what we know, Tom Brady said, he told reporters, that he hadn't put a lot of thought into it. But at the same time, he's worrying about life after football. You know, his wife, his kids. He wants to be there for him. He doesn't want to suffer any sort of gruesome hit that could impact life after football. And I think we've said that before with Tom Brady, or at least I have, I know. And with Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, the NFL told them when their time was up, right? They were not playing at a high level anymore. They were really hurt. Drew Brees, what did he have? Cracked ribs, punctured lung. I think he had a shoulder problem as well. I mean, all kinds of issues with Drew Brees. And it showed out there on the field. The Saints were nowhere near the same team anymore. And Drew Brees had shown his age. Peyton Manning, even though he won the Super Bowl, you look at his numbers back then, and you look at the way he played. I mean, it was nowhere near what Peyton Manning was doing 5 years, even 2 or 3 years before that in Denver. Now, with Tom Brady, it's never going to be that case. Right, I really just don't think that Tom Brady's ever going to have that season in the NFL where it's like, damn, he looks terrible. He is one of the main reasons why his team is losing. He would be a liability. I don't think that's ever going to be the case because he flows too well within that offense. He had 3 Pro Bowl offensive linemen. He gets the ball out quickly. He's got the weapons. He's got a security blanket in Rob Gronkowski. And that can help you stay in the league longer. Whereas opposed to maybe Drew Brees, who didn't have necessarily the same weapons, the same offensive line, he's getting banged up. Tom Brady's not much of a runner, never has been. So he's not really putting himself in danger. But at the same time, against LA, he was sacked a few times and sacked hard. And no matter how good of shape you keep yourself in, whether you're 25, whether you're 45, those hits can take a toll on you. And I think, same reason off the field, those players' girlfriends, their wives, they hate seeing that happen, especially to a quarterback getting crunched by a 6'4", 285-pound man. Like, that jars you. I've never been hit like that. It would probably kill me if somebody hit me like that, a 6'4", 280-pound man. But Tom Brady's been taking hits like that for over 2 decades. But I still feel like, though he's contemplating that, because I think every aging player, whether that be the NFL, MLB, NBA, they all say stuff like this. You know, you can feel accomplished, excuse me, that was a voice crack, man. Still getting over the voice problems from going to the game on Sunday night, Marco. But with these older players, they all say this, right? That they want to spend time with family. They want to be there for their family. They've accomplished everything they want to accomplish in the game, but at the same time, they never really lose that competitor in them. They have that fire still, even when they retire, right? That's tough to walk away from because for basically your entire life, your entire adult life, you've been doing this. Tom Brady, since the 90s, has been playing in the NFL. It has been forever since the NFL has not seen a league without Tom Brady. I mean, he's gone through two generations of players, basically, or at least it feels like that. Right? Even fan bases. You know, playing in the late 90s, some of us weren't even born yet. But then we remember growing up watching Tom Brady being phenomenal, MVP caliber, mid-2000s. Then continuing his dominance into the early 2010s, ending his time in Foxborough with the Patriots, and then going to Tampa Bay, winning another Super Bowl. Like, it's been a long time since the NFL has been without Tom Brady. But I still feel like deep down in my heart that he's not going to go out like this. Right? He's not going to lead the league in completions, in yards, and then just say, you know what, after all this time, I'm going to walk away. I need to be a family man. What is going to happen is whenever he chooses it to be his final year, he's going to announce that. Right, whether this be this offseason saying, this is it, 45 years old, I'm going for one last shot. And you know what? We've seen it with other superstar Hall of Fame greats. Kobe Bryant had the same thing with the Lakers. Derek Jeter had the same thing with the New York Yankees. Just maybe you don't even want to go to the numbers on that. Just icons of the sport. They want that. They may not tell you they want that. They want to focus on the game, but Tom Brady knows. He's meant too much for the game to just say, all right, this is it. Right? He is going to make sure that it's an entire year process. That final season, you know, I'm sure the NFL, they'd have some scheduling. Maybe they face the Patriots again. But in situations like this, right, Tom Brady knows that you're not just going to walk away from the sport right after a loss like that. He's going to want to give himself one last chance, one last storyline, a headline, that going into this season, it is the Super Bowl or it's nothing. It's not even going to be individual accolades, stats like that. It's going to be Tom Brady's last chance, his chance to get 8 Super Bowl rings. He's going to keep saying that. Here's what's going to go down, Marco. He's going to say this, and you're all going to start thinking, like, oh my God, he's really going to retire. And then he's going to put out some video. He's going to put out a video and be like, the last year, the last dance, quest for 8, whatever it would be. Like, he's leading this on to be like this build-up, this dramatic story, but then he's going to return for next year. Rather, that's just who Tom is, the competitor in him. Being a competitor, being as decorated as he is, he's not just going to walk away after a season like this. He knows he can still play. Listen, it's been so long since Tom Brady's been hurt. So though Giselle, his wife, is worrying, paining her, it pains her to see Tom Brady get hit, her husband get hit. He doesn't get hit that often. And he's very protected in the NFL. The quarterback position is protected in the NFL, especially for pocket passers. You go low, you hit their face mask, you hit their helmet, you land on them, penalty. So he's protected now. Now, can he still get hit from time to time? Of course he can. Every player on that field can take a jarring hit. But Tom Brady's been around long enough to know that he's not going to put himself in situations to get hurt, especially not in his last season. So I think we are not done seeing Tom Brady in the NFL. However, I would not be shocked to see an announcement and that this next season would be it for Tom. Right? The final go-around, one more go-around in Tampa Bay, and then he can call it a career. And then 2 years from now, we'll be talking about who's the next QB of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and maybe, just maybe, who is the next Tom Brady. Right, we can compare, you know, Patrick Mahomes getting the numbers, but he doesn't play anything like Tom Brady. You know, I think some people see Josh Allen. I don't really. I just don't think you can replicate what Tom Brady played like, what he did in New England. Like, that's never going to be done again. But it will be very interesting because our entire lives, Marco, we've never known a league without Tom Brady. Ever. And it is coming sooner rather than later, but I do not think it'll be it for him right now. I can see it at least one more season. Now we're going to switch back into some Chiefs talk. And I know this has been debated, you know, going back and forth about what's the best playoff game that Patrick Mahomes has ever played in. And there's a lot of things you can go with. I have three. I'll ask Marco his opinion. But I feel like I'm going to try and take the recency bias out of it because that's one of the toughest things to do when comparing games like this. We are only 2 days removed from what we saw against the Buffalo Bills. People calling it the greatest NFL game of all time. But sometimes we miss the fact that even go back to the AFC divisional round, which is the second option on this list, being down 4 scores to the Houston Texans in the second quarter. And then erasing that deficit and taking the lead in that same quarter. And against a very good quarterback in Deshaun Watson, who once again, that was another rivalry comparison. Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, that was no slouch team that they beat. They still had DeAndre Hopkins, right? That was a good Texans team, and that was a playoff game where you go, are you kidding me? After being inches away from a Super Bowl, we're going to get bounced in the divisional round by the Houston Texans. You had that first round bye in the wild card round, and then the Texans come in and just stomp you. And then to add to this resume, this legend of Patrick Mahomes, the Grim Reaper, he erases it in one quarter. That can certainly rival what happened on Sunday night. So the first two we have the 42-36 overtime thriller that we saw on Sunday night against Buffalo to go to the AFC title game. Number two, the AFC division round back in 2020 when the Chiefs overcame a 24-0 deficit and beat the Houston Texans. And then number three, of course, it has to be the Super Bowl win. You're down 20-10 to the best defense in the NFL. You had just thrown an interception. There's less than 8 minutes to go. And what do you know? You score 21 points in those final 8 minutes, less than 8 minutes, adding once again another achievement to the legend of Patrick Mahomes, a.k.a. the Grim Reaper. So those three right there, all very improbable games that the Chiefs ended up winning. Now, they all should have lost all three of those easily. Most teams in the NFL would have lost all three of those games. Now, I guess when I look at the win probability, the most unlikely game to win was, in fact, Sunday night against the Buffalo Bills. 13 seconds left. The Bills, for some reason, decide to kick it out of the back of the end zone instead of squib kicking it and give Patrick Mahomes 2 plays. He gets down to field goal territory, well into field goal territory. They tie the game, go into overtime. One last drive, they score, they win. The Texans game, though it was very improbable, they still had 2.5 quarters, right? They had time to overcome that. And I remember being in that game, and it was, let's just get it to 24-14. Be down by 10. You'll get the ball after half, and then I feel comfortable. But they erased it. So that was more of the incredible factor that was Patrick Mahomes. Having an offense that in a blink of an eye, they could erase a 4-score deficit in less than 15 minutes. It was wild. The atmosphere was crazy that day. And until Sunday night, that was the best football atmosphere I've ever been in. And then Sunday night happened, and that was the best football atmosphere I've ever been in. Now, the Super Bowl, I wasn't there. I was downtown at Power and Light. The best non-stadium atmosphere I've been for a football game. It was insane. The comeback was insane. But at the same time, 10 points was not for a 4-score deficit. It also wasn't a field goal deficit with 13 seconds left to go. So my opinion, at least, is that I think the best playoff game under Patrick Mahomes, and I know I brought up recency bias, it had to be Sunday night because of what it was living up to. Right, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Bills, Chiefs. And when you have those two great quarterbacks, those two great teams, and then you get the game that you wanted, That's what I factor into this. I go to the Texans and the Chiefs. It was, okay, great. This is Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. But I still felt like the Chiefs were looking over the Texans. It was, okay, let's go into next week. You know, the Ravens were knocked out, but if we win, it's an AFC Championship game once again. I think they overlooked them just a little bit. And then in the Super Bowl, it was, it's a great San Francisco team, a great defense, but they had Jimmy G. The quarterback matchup wasn't that great. It was Mahomes was much better than Jimmy G. It was more Mahomes going up against that defense. On Sunday night, it was the league's best defense, two great coaches, Andy Reid, Sean McDermott, two great quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, great weapons both sides, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Dawson Knox, Travis Kelce. But then it was Gabriel Davis who had four receiving touchdowns. Byron Pringle had a touchdown. Mecole Hardman had a touchdown. I mean, it was all over the place, everything you could want in an NFL game. So therefore, my pick at least, is that the best playoff game Patrick Mahomes has ever played in, not even numbers-wise, just entertainment factor, I'm going Sunday night. What say you, Marco?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue with that one, especially with the odds. Texans, actually, they had a 94% chance to win the game with 11 minutes left in the second quarter when it went up 24-0. And then
I believe Buffalo, they were over like 96 or 97.
What?
On Sunday night. So, but you said the Texans was 94, right?
No, I thought the Bills was 91%.
It was only 91? Okay,
yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm wrong on that. Thank you for bringing that up. So the Texans had the best win probability of the bunch, I believe. You give your answer. I'm going to look up 49ers win probability.
Yeah, the Bills, I remember it was 91% with 13 seconds left, which was one of the things where we were like, that's kind of crazy that they're doing it, that it's only 91%. That must mean 7 or 8% would result in a tie. But ESPN, I don't know what exactly factored into it. But, yeah, hard to argue with Sunday night's game as far as best Chiefs playoff win. How about the first Texans playoff win that the Chiefs had that broke the 30-year drought of not winning in January in the postseason? That was really fun because we had witnessed the games where the Chiefs had kind of choked it away, the no punt game, the Indianapolis Colts game. Can't remember if the Steelers, the all field goal game, if that happened after the Texans won. I think so, because that was Andy Reid's first season. So even prior to that, just the stuff that had happened afterwards. But that was just a really cool, because that was our first playoff win that we got to witness the Chiefs ever have, was the win over the Texans down in Houston. So, and they shut them out in that game also, and started right off with Niles Davis, kick return touchdown to start the football game. So that was a lot of fun. Also, the Tennessee game back to the AFC Championship when they went to the Super Bowl, that was just awesome too, because Tennessee had gotten out to a lead. It was another comeback win. Mahomes had his playoff, had that rushing touchdown, that iconic highlight that will live for the test of time. And Sammy Watkins, of course, just over the top, icing the game. And it was right then when you kind of knew, holy crap, Chiefs are going to the, we're going to see something that we thought we'd never see again, or never see ever happen. And that was the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. It was right then and there when Watkins had iced the game on that reception touchdown against the Titans. And then for Frank Clark to get two sacks on Tannehill to end the game, or at least end the drive there for Tennessee, that was special. It was all good. It's kind of crazy. Every Chiefs playoff win with Patrick Mahomes has had its own kind of title, connotation. We used to title every Chiefs playoff loss. Every Chiefs playoff loss had its own title to it for what went wrong in those games. And then now we have specific names for each playoff win with Patrick Mahomes because something just went right in those games.
You're exactly right. It was the fact that before Patrick Mahomes, it was more so that every loss was just, it had a name. It had a nickname. The forward progress game. right? The blown lead game, 38-10 against Indianapolis. You know, all these types of losses that were so tough to overcome in the offseason. They ripped your heart out. And now it's Patrick Mahomes that we're not only debating his greatness in the postseason, we're just even thinking, oh, what's the best wins that he's had? And there's so many to pick from. But I'm going to go and stick with Sunday night. Back to your point of the numbers, the win probability. Okay, the 49ers, after Mahomes' interception, had a 95% chance win probability. So that's wild to me that the lowest win probability was actually Sunday night with 91 for Buffalo. So the highest was the Texans. Or you said the Texans was 94.
Texans was 93.9.
So the Niners had the highest win probability.
Yeah, okay.
And it was a Super Bowl, so you can make a very fair case for that. Then you had the Texans. I feel like that still had a chance because, you know, there was so much time left. 49ers game, Super Bowl, it didn't have much time left. Mm-hmm. Certainly wasn't a lot of time left on Sunday night against the Bills, but that actually had the lowest win probability. Maybe it's because they only needed the field goal. You know, they only needed to go 40-ish, 50 yards, and they did that.
Yep.
I'm trying to keep the recency bias out of it, but I feel like I got to roll with that was the best playoff game I've ever witnessed. Not even Patrick Mahomes' era. That's the best playoff game I think I've ever witnessed in my entire life. You know, more so than any other game I've ever seen on TV, ever been to in person. I don't know if anything right now can top what the Chiefs and the Bills did on Sunday night. When we come back here on The Shift, we'll recap what happened between the Kansas Jayhawks and Texas Tech Red Raiders last night and preview. Finish up with K-State and Baylor, and then, of course, some fact or fiction. You are listening to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. As if the high blood pressure games weren't enough over the weekend, you had KU, K-State on Saturday. And maybe you just watched all the divisional games, too. So you had the Titans and Bengals. That was a thriller. The 49ers and Packers, thriller. Rams, Bucks, thriller. And then, of course, Chiefs and Bills. But it wasn't done. It carried into Monday as Kansas and Texas Tech go into double overtime. But the Jayhawks prevail with a 94-91 win over the Red Raiders. They avoid being swept for just the third time by a Big 12 team in the Bill Self era. I mean, what more can you say about Ochai Agbaji? 37 points, a career high. 13 of 23, 7 of 12 from three-point range. Had the game-tying three-pointer in overtime when it looked very grim. But you know, as Andy Reid said, when it looks grim, be the grim reaper. That's what Ochai Agbaji was last night against Texas Tech. I mean, right now the Big 12 is so unbelievably loaded. I mean, Texas Tech, who now has three losses in Big 12 play, you could argue still has a very good chance of maybe winning this league. Now they're two games back of KU, first place, and they're behind Baylor. But at the same time, this team is ridiculously good. I mean, Bryson Williams last night, transfer from UTEP, also played at Fresno State, I believe. 33 points, 14 of 19 shooting, 4 of 4 from 3. And he had done that, not as well, but he had put up some great numbers against KU when he was at UTEP. Right? He was on the team that nearly knocked off KU last year in Allen Fieldhouse as a part of the Miners. But Kansas, time and time and again, at least to start Big 12 play, they're sort of eking out those games they very well should have lost. I mean, Iowa State, one of their games at the beginning of Big 12 play, they should have lost that. They needed a go-ahead bucket at the very end by Dewan Harris. Then they nearly lost down in Norman. I believe they trailed by 4 with a little under 2 minutes to go. Then Ochai Agbaji had a big 3, got him back in the game. And they win that one 67-64. Christian Brown had the big-time three in that one down in Norman. And then Saturday in Manhattan, Kansas, down by 17 in the second half, they come back and win. Even we're down by, I believe, 5 or 6 with less than 2 minutes to go. Should have lost that. And then last night, you know, you had a good lead. I think you had a 12-point lead with like 6 minutes to go and blew that. And then you go into overtime, and Texas Tech sort of takes care of business, rides that momentum in overtime, but you battle back. Ochai Agbaji ties the game. You go into a double overtime. And you're trailing in double overtime as well, but then eventually you break through. And you take the lead, and you take the lead for good, and you win at 94-91. Those are the type of games. I know it's hard to look ahead into March, but those are the type of games that happen in March. That tournament. A tournament Kansas hasn't won since 2008. Right? It's been a while for Bill Self in Kansas. But what you're seeing with this team is that even on some of those players' off nights, not shooting the ball that well. I mean, Christian Brown last night had 15 points, but he was 4 of 13 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. Now, Jalen Wilson, a little bit of an off night, 3 of 10. Remy Martin was a lot better, didn't really play late in the game, and I thought they might have gone to him when the offense was looking sluggish again, but he was 2 of 7. I mean, guys were missing shots, but at the end of the day, if you can overcome that and beat a team like Texas Tech, that fuels you. That gets you that experience heading into March. And right now, I mean, hard to ask for a better start for Kansas in Big 12 play. 6-1, one game over Baylor. They play Baylor, I believe, next week. They get Kentucky on Saturday, what should be a fantastic showdown at Allen Fieldhouse. That'll tip off at, let's see here, 5 p.m. on ESPN. Kentucky is ranked 12th in the country. They're 15-4. Kansas still ranked 5 at 17-2. It's fun to watch, though. This whole conference is very fun to watch. You know, lots of talent, lots of high scores. I mean, Bryce Williams had 33. Nigel Pack on Saturday had 35. Ochai Agbaji has 37. I mean, it kind of feels like an NBA game with how many high-scoring totals there are. But just really fun, a lot of talent to watch. You know, Baylor, KU, Tech. TCU's 13-3 right now. Texas is struggled out of the gates, but they're still 14-5. Oklahoma State's had some big wins. They knocked off Baylor down in Waco, and they're 10-8. K-State, big wins over Tech and wins over Texas. They're 10-8. They're last place in the conference. Oklahoma, 12-7. They're right above that. Iowa State's ranked, and they're 2-5 in the conference. So it's in a complete gauntlet of a league. And I think the winner, first place in this league, is at least is going to lose probably 4 or 5 Big 12 games. I mean, it's that good. But Kansas right now, you can't start much better. They're 6-1 in Big 12 play, 17-2 after their win last night over Texas Tech in double overtime, 94-91. Ochai Agbaji with a career high 37 points. Now tonight, Kansas State looking to bounce back after what happened on Saturday against Kansas, and what a team to bounce back against than the fourth-ranked Baylor Bears down in Waco, Texas. These are the type of games that really can decide your season, right? It's all great and fine that K-State's playing well. They're close in a lot of games. Their players are getting more experience. But at the end of the day, if they lose tonight, which they're favored to lose, they're nearly 14-point underdogs down in Waco, they'll be 10-9. One game from being 500. And though you've went through a brutal stretch of play, you had to face Texas Tech, Texas, KU, and Baylor. And if you lose, you still went 2-2, 500. I think any K-State fan at the time before this four-game stretch would have taken that. But if your goal is to make the tournament, which I think K-State is still believing they can, at some point these close losses, even to ranked teams, they have to turn into wins. Like, losing to Kansas on Saturday was a stain on the schedule. Not because they lost to a top 10 team, but because the way they lost. They had their best offensive performance, maybe under Bruce Weber. I don't remember a K-State team playing that well under Bruce Weber offensively. Defensively, they held Kansas to 34 in the first half. You know, Ochai Agbaji was really the only scorer in that game for Kansas. But you blow that game, you blow it to your rival at home, and now to avoid that sweep, you have to go to Lawrence and beat Kansas and Allen Fieldhouse, something you haven't done in a very long time. And now you got to face Baylor. You know, and down this stretch, it does get easier for Kansas State, but these close games can only do so much. I mean, how many moral victories do you want to take? I think they're a very young team, and they're going to be good. But you can't be losing games like that when you have a 17-point lead in the second half to a top-10 team. You know, losing to Kansas isn't bad. Losing the way you did to Kansas is not very good. So you're 10-8. You get Baylor next. Baylor tonight, that is. Tip off at 7 p.m. on ESPN+. I'm not saying you have to win this game, but at some point, you know, you have Ole Miss next, Oklahoma State, TCU, and then you face Baylor again. That three-game stretch, you got to go 2-1 or win all three. If you're really serious about making the tournament and being one of those teams in from the Big 12, at some point, you can't lose any more gimme games, and there's really no gimme games in the Big 12, but if you got big leads in the second half, you got to find a way to close it. And let's see how Kansas State looks after that brutal loss to Kansas on Saturday. They'll tip off against Baylor at 7 p.m. down in Waco, Texas on ESPN+. With that, it's now time for our favorite segment of Fact or Fiction. Five questions, five takes, in well under 5 minutes. Marco, fire away.
Fact or fiction, Burrow wins an MVP before Mahomes wins his second.
See, I go with circumstance like that. Mahomes is going to put up the numbers, so will Joe Burrow. But I feel like Mahomes at some point is due for another one, and I feel like next year, maybe I'm just riding the high right now of how he's looked in the postseason, but I feel like before Burrow wins an MVP, Mahomes will get his second.
Tom Brady will have a farewell tour similar to Bryant and Jeter.
You know, I feel like I already touched on that a little bit. I think fact on that. I think Tom Brady wants that farewell tour. He wouldn't say it out loud, but I feel like knowing what he's done for the game, what he knows he's done for the game, I feel like he's going to have that 1 year where everybody knows Brady will be going out after that season.
Texas Tech will reach at least the Sweet 16.
I mean, that defense is scary good. They are physical. They are long. And offensively, they can have guys put up 33 points like Bryson Williams. So I'm going to go fact. I think Tech at least makes the Sweet 16.
Antonio Brown gets another shot with the Ravens.
So I don't know if you heard this, Marco, but he wants to play with Lamar Jackson. You know, if I'm the Ravens, I'm saying stay the hell away from us, please. We don't want any more of your headaches. Yes, can you still play? Of course, you're still a very good wide receiver, but you have proven time and time and again that you're not trustworthy. I'm going to go fiction. I don't think he plays with the Ravens next.
K-State stays within single digits of Baylor tonight.
So they're nearly a 14.5-point underdog, or 14-point underdog, that is. They're 13.5 underdogs tonight in Waco. Baylor just matches up very well against Kansas State. I don't really like this matchup for K-State. I don't like this matchup at all, really, for anybody against Baylor other than maybe Tech and Kansas. I'm going to go fiction. I think K-State loses by just over double digits tonight, and they'll fall to 10-9. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. You take it easy, Kansas City.